And say good morning to Robin Ehrlich, who is the Communications and Public Relations Coordinator for the Milwaukee Film Festival, which just wrapped up a 15-day run at the Oriental and Downer Theaters in downtown Milwaukee. You exhausted, Robin?
Yes, but less exhausted now. We've had like a week and a half to recover, so we're definitely getting back to business as usual a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, when do you start preparing for next year's?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess. The programmers are kind of always watching films that they're keeping in mind for next year's festival or for our Dialogues documentary festival, which we have in the fall. My work more starts again, I would say, like October, November is when we start kind of, you know, selecting the artist for the campaign art next year and putting together some ideas for the program book, stuff like that.
I love movies. I can remember every single movie I've ever seen and the theater I've seen it in. And I'm talking back
to... That's incredible.
Yeah, back to the 50s. My first movie was Tammy and the Bachelor when I was a little kid at a drive-in theater with my mom and dad. I remember... I can tell you, you name the movie that I've seen, and I'll tell you which theater I've seen it in.
Wow.
It's a superpower. I don't know how I got this superpower, but I have it. I don't know what to do with it.
That's an incredible power.
I can't monetize it, though. There's no way to make money with that superpower. Nobody cares.
I think it's cool, though.
All right. I got quick before we start with all the stats from the Milwaukee Film Festival. You've seen the Beatles movie A Hard Day's Night, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know the name The Beatles is never mentioned in the entire film?
Really?
Yep. Never mentioned it.
I would not have thought that.
Nope. You see it once on Ringo's drum where it says The Beatles, but you'll never hear anybody mention it in the film. I don't know if it was done consciously or why they didn't do it, but they never mentioned The Beatles. They referred to them, but they never used that name in the entire film.
That's so interesting. I guess they didn't have to mention it. We all knew why we were there.
Yeah, you assumed. Yeah. All right. Here's another word that's never mentioned in The Godfather. The word is mafia. And the reason they didn't mention it is the producers made a deal with the real mafia to get their support for the production, not to mention the word mafia.
That's really cool, actually.
See what you learn?
I think that's really interesting.
See what you learn here on WRJN, huh? You learn smart.
No, this is great. All right. I didn't know I was going to learn so much today.
Oh, I got more if you want to learn stuff. I got tons of stuff here. All right, so the Milwaukee Film Festival wrapped up 15 days playing at the Downer and Oriental Theaters. Give us a rundown. How many films were run altogether?
Yeah, so we showed, I think, 208 films across 265 screenings.
Whoa.
Because we showed quite a few multiple times. And that includes short films and feature films.
You made a lot of money too. $150,000, huh?
Yeah, that was super exciting. That was part of our Real Impact campaign because we're an arts nonprofit. So we had an original fundraising goal of $85,000. And I think by day six of the festival, we met that. So we had to raise the goal to $100,000. And then the next day we met that. And then we had to raise it again, and we were like, okay, we're going to raise it one final time. We can't keep doing this, to $125,000. And they exceeded it again, and people were just really generous and excited about the festival and the organization, so that was really cool.
This surprised me. Total attendance, over 32,000. That was 32,004. But 32,000 people, whoa, in two theaters.
Yeah, I know. That was so exciting, too. So we matched, basically, our 2024 attendance, which doesn't sound that impressive at first. But then when you think about the fact that we had two less screens that we're showing films at this year's festival, we didn't have the two additional venues, which if you do the math, which I did not do, but someone else did the math and told me this, that it reflects the growth of average attendance at each screening of 47% of last year's averages.
Let's talk about some of the awards. The Catalyst Awards at the Able or Abel? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Ably. Ably Catalyst Award, yeah.
What won that?
Yeah, so that was announced our opening night of the film festival, and that was presented posthumously to Carmen and Bill Haberman, who were two really influential members of our board and helped really put the whole film festival together. So that was exciting. We had a video that we shared opening night to kind of commemorate that.
Okay, then a whole bunch of jury awards. Who's the jury, by the way? Who made the decisions here?
So there's different juries, and they're made up of different kind of film industry professionals or critics, filmmakers themselves. So each jury is made up of a bunch of different people, and they kind of have to do specifically with what they are deliberating about. So there's like the Luminaries Award, which is for second or third filmmaking experiences. So people who are making their second or third film, Emerging Fiction Award. Well, here I can say what those went to too. The Luminaries Jury Award went to Middletown, which is a really fantastic documentary. And the Emerging Fiction Jury Award went to Outer Lands, which I got to see in the theater, and there was a Q&A with the filmmaker, and that was really, really moving. And the Emerging Documentary Jury Award went to a really powerful documentary called Remaining Native, which also had a great Q&A. And then there's tons of Cream City Cinema Awards, which is because we're in the Cream City. So those go to local filmmakers, too.
Now, Kids Choice Jury Award, did kids vote or just adults voted for kids' films? Kids voted?
No. Yeah, we have a jury made up of local 9 to 12-year-olds.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yes. Yeah, there were six of them this year. So it's a small jury of kids, and they get to watch all of the short films at the festival. And I believe there were like 52 children's short films. And then they come up with like their special mentions because they gave out an award for most inspirational film to a short film called Skate in the City, best representation to a film called Unibrow. But the film that took the ultimate Kids' Choice Jury Award was a film called The Carp and the Child.
Well, you know, 9 to 12-year-olds, they're into voting for films. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we just think it's important to get, you know, kids into a theater and get to experience, you know, the theatrical film experience. And it helps give them the chance to kind of show their leadership skills and persuasive skills and deliberation. And it's like they get to pick, you know, their version of the Academy Award. It's exciting.
Yeah. My superpower, if I was 9 to 12 years, I could have really done a good job there because that's all they did was watch movies. I used to have, now, this is going to really freak people out who don't really know about 8mm film. When I was a kid, we had a projector, and I used to buy movies on 8mm film, but it was 3 minutes. So they take a major motion picture, and they'd squeeze it down to 3 minutes. It's hard to believe.
Whoa.
And I still have my 8mm movies, Castle Films, which was owned by Universal Pictures. That's why all the films are Universal. Had this deal that they'd put these movies on 8mm. You can buy the big one, which ran 9 minutes, or the little one that ran 3 minutes. And I used to have in my garage, I had a screen with a projector, charge kids 10 cents, and I used to run a whole bunch of these. And this is, you know, we're talking the early 60s here. But I love doing that. I still have those 8mm movies in the basement. The problem is I don't have a projector to show them on. So.
Yeah. I bet you could find one somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I could. If I wanted to, I could do it. But they're probably so brittle now. But it's just I go back and look at them occasionally and think about all the days I sat there. And I kept them in mint condition. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and the kids used to get in the garage, give 10 cents, and I ran like 10 of them.
And you have like a small business.
Yeah, at, you know, 9 years old, I was really pulling in the cash. I mean, You never know where the wind's fitting the next millionaire's coming from. All right, so then you have the Audience Choice Awards. This is where the audience gets to pick out their favorites, huh?
Yes, yeah. We have these little ballots at every film that you see at the festival. And afterwards, we have our amazing volunteers in the lobby, and they collect your ballots, and you just tear along the line of whichever number, 1 through 5, 5 being best, one being not so great. And our volunteers tally them all up, and then there's like some sort of algorithm, because we want to make sure that we're taking the average from each one and computing it and calculating it and making sure it's fair. And so after all of that calculation, the best feature film for our audience award was a documentary called The Librarians. And the best short film was a short called Jane Austen's Period Drama.
You know, this is just, it's wonderful. I mean, this is just great. Wow. And then you have the documentary. And now, let's talk about the 2026 film festivals coming around. And the dates are already set for that, huh?
Yeah, we just announced the dates, which is exciting. I didn't even know we knew the dates. But we, yes, we have them set. So mark your calendars. The 2026 Milwaukee Film Festival is April 16th through 30th, 2026.
You know, now the question is, did you show any of these movies really on film, or are they all on a hard drive?
So this year, we did not show any films on actual film during the festival. Last year, we had 2 films that we showed on 35mm film during the festival. But we are currently at the Oriental Theater showing the new film Sinners on 70mm
film. I was about to say, there is a new film out on 70mm.
Yes, it's really exciting that we like have the technology and the equipment in order to screen the film in this format. Our tech team is so excited. All our projectionists, they love when they get to screen films on actual film. So that's been running for almost a week, and we're having it for 2 weeks. So there's still another week to catch Sinners on 70mm.
Yeah, I feel bad for people growing up that don't know anything about that. You know, when I was a kid, we went to the Cinerama Theater. And when they had the travelogues, even for How the West Was Won and the Wonderful World of the Brothers Grimm, it was shown with 3 projectors. They had an A, B, and C projector, and they would show it in 35mm with 3 projectors filling that big Cinerama screen. Now, you could see the seam lines a little bit.
But I like that.
Yeah, but yeah, if you weren't looking for it. And if you talk to the directors of these movies, they'll say they would never do it again because you're dealing with 3 rolls of film in each camera. You know, one big camera, 3 rolls of film running simultaneously. And if one's got a little glitch in it, you've got to edit all 3. You can't just edit one because it won't match up.
Right.
And
yeah.
To watch these movies, and I remember as a kid watching them, on that big Cinerama screen with 3 projectors. Could you imagine that, be that projectionist? I mean, that was like, you know, talk about anxiety.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard job.
Yeah, especially when you got 3 films running simultaneously. And if you're out of sync with 1 frame, you'd notice it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. I love physical film. It's always super exciting. I think I'm going to go see Sinners tomorrow. Truly.
Do you get in free?
And I've already seen it.
You don't
Do
get
I
it?
Get in free?
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Now we know the truth.
It's the best part of the job.
Who put together this, the actual booklet, I was going to call it a playbill, but the actual Milwaukee Film Festival book. I mean, this is beautiful work.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for saying that. That was a team of us. So it was me, our graphic designer, and we had another graphic designer contracted. And then there's like it program book time is a couple weeks of really intense editing and staying late at the office. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
I don't tell anybody, but I stole it from here at the radio station and I brought it home with me and I've been reading it, but it's coffee table book type. It's like the paper stock is wonderful in this thing. The color separation, everything is beautiful in this. You put it together.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to tell everyone at work you said this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell them Don Rosen said it. They'll say, who? Don? Who? What does he know about books? He doesn't know anything. All right, one more thing for you here. It's prom time. I'm going to mention some films. You tell me which is your favorite movie about proms, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We got Footloose, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Carrie, that's probably the wildest prom movie ever, Back to the Future, when Marty McFly's got to get his parents to meet at the prom, remember that? And American Pie. Which prom movie do you like the best? Or is there another one
wow.
I didn't mention?
Yeah. That is tough. I was between Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Carrie. I think I have to go Carrie. I love Carrie.
Well,
I love Back to the Future. I also thought Lady Bird. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember from, Lady Bird. Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty good prom movie, too.
Well, they had a list of 30 here. I just picked 5 because we couldn't let this go forever.
You picked 5 great ones, but I think of those, Carrie is one of my all-time favorites.
I just, it's the wildest prom movie with John Travolta with his pig's blood and everything dropping on Carrie. And the fire, everybody's dying in the fire. I mean, it's the wildest prom.
I love Brian De Palma, so I'm a sucker for any of his films, and they're all weird.
I still got to pick Back to the Future because it was a feel-good prom where he's got to get his father to dance with his mother to get him together.
Yeah.
He's going to disappear forever. I mean, that's kind of a wild thing.
And
then
he plays the guitar.
And his hands start disappearing, and he can't play the guitar anymore until they start to dance, and his body comes back, and the picture comes back with his brother and sister, and yeah, that's a feel-good.
It's a perfect movie for sure, like front to back. I think that's a perfect film.
I love when he goes back in time, Marty, and he sees his principal, and he says, "Didn't that guy ever have hair?" That's one of my favorites. All right, Robin, congratulations. I'm glad Civic Media and WRJM were part of it. I just love the fact that we're part of a movie thing. Robin Ehrlich is the Communications and Public Relations Coordinator for the Milwaukee Film Festival. Just ended recently, about a week or so ago. Ended its 15-day run at the Oriental and Downer Theaters, the historic Oriental and Downer Theaters in Milwaukee. The movie palaces, they don't make them like that anymore. They're too expensive. they're not profitable. Even the Oriental has 3 screens in it now. I mean, they had to do something. I mean, one movie. You know what the problem is when you get these big movie palaces? You get one bad movie stuck in there for 2 weeks and you don't make any money.
I know.
At least
you're right.
If you have 13 theaters, you can afford to have a dud in one or two of them. But you can't afford to have one theater and have a bad movie plan. Hey, Robin, congratulations. Looking forward to the next Milwaukee Film Festival.
Thank you so much. Thanks. And thanks for having me. We loved having Civic Media be a part of the whole thing, and you've been so supportive. So thank you.